פרק בייס, עכשיו ספריכם. מחלק, חלק פרק גימל, חלק בייס, פרק גימל, פייץ' חוף בייס. אמר מיאטה. אמר מיאטה, אפילו ניתה מישהו למה שהסלבוס בעבוי דרק עליה היא. This is what the Rebbe says. Here's a mistake that we commonly make, is that hislavus b'avoy derak aliyahi, that having feeling hislavus in one's avodas Hashem is an aliyahi. In other words, that's something which is a very, very unusual and special thing, which is a madrega of only of bnei aliyah, of people who are really, really different and special and exalted. That's a different, madrega. It's aliyah. Shirak bnei aliyah tzrichim l'shtadla. That only bnei aliyah, only people who are really ultra orthodox, have to strive for his hislavus avodas Hashem. There's a common misconception. The Rebbe says that for simple people, for regular people, it's enough that one observes the mitzvahs and stays away from the avarice. That certainly is very admirable. But that his slavas, feeling a sense of excitement, feeling the hislavus of someone's avoda, that's something which is reserved only for very, very special, extraordinary people. And either you have it or you don't have it. There's a general feeling, either you have it or you don't have it. Because there are some people who are knighted, there are some people who are inclined to hislavus, and their nature is more of a fiery nature. And those individuals who have that teva of being mislahavim, so they're the ones everybody looks up to as the bnei aliyah. But regular people, kuli hai, they should just not do any avarice and try to do mitzvahs. It's not the ninyan of hislavus. Hislavus is something that's for yeshiva bachram, for bali tshuva, for geirim, right? But not for regular Jews. Not in the parish of hislavus. Shirak bnei aliyah tzrichim l'shtadla, and therefore only a person who be'etzem, as if there's somebody who comes into the world as a ben aliyah. You know, people come to the world with labels. So this person is a ben aliyah, and a ben aliyah has to make a shtadlus to be in that state of constant islavas. V'lo kol echad, as if this is not the chelik of every Jew in the world. Even if your Yetzer Hara deceives you into thinking that it's possible for you to be a Chassidish Avrech, remember, he's talking to Chassidim because that was his audience. He's talking to Yidden Bechlal, of course, now over the years. But his Asag of who the people were that were ever going to look at the Sefer, he felt this was something that, of course, was written for Chassidim and was to be read by Chassidim. I don't think the Rebbe imagined that this was going to be a sefer that would be popularly sought after by people, by Yidden from all different backgrounds. So the Rebbe's talking to the Chassidim, to his chevra in Warsaw and in the suburbs of Warsaw. And even, he says, even if your Yetzer Hara will convince you that it's possible to be a Chassidish Avreich, to be a Chassidish young man, even without Islavus. In other words, you can be a Chassid. Guess if you do the mitzvahs and you don't do Averis and you go to a Rebbe and you have the right outfit and you dance on Shemini Atzeres and you Fabrang and Lag Baimer and you do the stuff. You do the right stuff. You're a card-carrying member. Even the Rebbe says, "Av she'ein moich yochel lahasig b'shum oifen eich b'metiyah chosim loy b'slavus veishes chesidus derech hanavim." He says, "I have to say though, in my way of thinking, in my mind, I'm not masig. I don't understand at all. In what way can a person be a chosid without his slavus?" Which he says at the beginning, since chesidus, we learned in the beginning of the sefer, chesidus is the continuation of the derech hanavim, of the way of the prophets of the nevi, and that's what the sefer began with. And in the hishtalshlus and that. hemshech of the Ratzon Hashem as it materializes in this world from the beginning through the Nevi'im till the end of time, that we have the Derech HaNevi'im, that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was mechazek, the way of prophecy, without of course being able to have a Nevuah, but the Derech HaNevi'im, as we learned. So the Rebbe says that's the whole definition of Chassidus, that he says the Chassidus is Derech HaNevi'im, and his Slavus, we saw, was the trademark, was the essence of the Navi, was the Hislavus in Avodas Hashem. So the Rebbe says it's hard for me to understand how could a person have a hasaga that there's such a thing as a chassid without the Hislavus, which is the nakuda of what? Of Derech HaNevi'im, that inner point of the way of the prophets. So what does it mean to be a Chassidish person, be a Chassidish Avreich, without the Derech HaNevi'im, which is Hislavus, which is that excitement in one's Avodas Hashem? So Mele, I mean, we were learning until now the difference between Hisrakshus and Hislavus. So beside the Hislavus, as we know, is a high level Hislavus. So the Rebbe says, I will below Hisrakshus. Mele, a person might have such a hasag, even though he's a person, I don't know exactly what it means, but a person can have a hasag of being a chassid without Hislavus, without that unbelievable madrega of Hislavus. But Hisrakshus, we learned, of course, is the beginning, the Hisrakshus from the Nefesh, which is that to be emotionally engaged. Beseder, we're not talking about a higher level of the Slavas, you know, kicking off your shoes and doing somersaults in the Bais Medrash. But Hisrakshus, that one's Avoida should be, God forbid, that there should be an Avoida of Ashakarcha, like Amalek, Kriris, with coldness and emptiness. We were learning Tuesday night. There's a Torah from the Rosh Yeshiva from Panovich, Reb David Pavarsky, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, where he's explaining how Chazal understood the comparison of Bnei Yisrael, of the Jewish people, to a rimon, to a pomegranate. Yeah, Kepelach HaRimayin Rakosech, in many places were compared to Rimayinim, to pomegranates. So Chazal say, Yidden as Afilu Reikonim Shebehem, even Jews who are either empty Jews, are Malei Mitzvahs Kerimayin, are filled with mitzvahs like a Rimayin, like a pomegranate. So Rabbi David Pavarsky asked, what does that mean? The Mepharshim ask, that Malei Mitzvahs Kerimayin, I feel a Reikonim Shebehem, he says, how could it be that a person is defined as being Reik, as being an empty Jew, and he's Molei Mitzvahs Kerimayin? Because Chazal is saying that even an empty Jew, if you cut him open, I mean, even an empty Jew, his life is filled with mitzvahs, just like the Rimayin, when you open it up, it has 613, you know, whatever, approximately. We used to count it, it never came out exactly, but 613 little seeds is what the fruit consists of. So how's that possible? Afilu Reikonim Shebehem, Malei Mitzvahs Kerimayin. Or the yeah, the name. Either there's good stuff, or there's not. So the Rosh Yeshiva, David Frazi says, Gevaldi Gevard. He says that you see that the chilik between, let's say, a Rimayin, a pomegranate, and an apple, is that the whole mahus of the Rimayin, what is the fruit of the Rimayin? It's 613 separate little seeds. When you open up, that's all it is. You dig in and you pull out these seeds, and each has the whole fruit. The mitzvahs of this fruit is 613 separate little things. Much anything, an apple, of course, or a pear. When you open up the apple, the pear or the apple is kulay appledik, right? It has in it the little seeds, but it's completely appledik. I mean, the fruit is Molei V'Godush, it's a miksha achas, like the menorah, right? It's a miksha achas, the apple. It's not 613 little pieces of apple, and you put them in a spoon and you eat. It's apple. So the Rosh Yeshiva said that, he says, you have a yid that he keeps the mitzvahs. Baruch Hashem, he puts on tilm, and he keeps Shabbos. He even likes to learn a little bit, he goes to Shia. He said, but every single thing that he does in his Avodas Hashem has no hemshech, has no shaychus one thing with the other. It's not to make him to a yid that's a misragish, that's a mislahev, that's an oived. He puts on tefillin in the morning. The tefillin he puts on in the morning has nothing to do with the bracha that he makes later on. The bracha that he makes later on has nothing to do with how he talks during the day at work. That has nothing to do with mincha. Mincha has nothing to do with what he's thinking about a minute before mincha or a minute before after mincha. It has nothing to do with one thing or the other. There are 613 little pits that's called his Avodas Hashem. 613 separate things. Every mitzvah, sukkah is not sukkah, but sukkah has no shaychus to Chanukah. Sukkah has no shaychus to my simcha the whole year. Everything is like a little separate pit, a little seed. Zahu. A miksha achas, Reb David said that to be a yid means that a person has a mahalach, that everything in his Yiddishkeit is connected to everything else, to bring him higher and higher, and to make him into more of a Jew, that has more of a hergish of being a Jew. That's how it's possible to say that afilu reikonim shebehem mleim mitzvahs kirimayim. This is a very sad thing if you think about it. Afilu reikonim shebehem means it's possible to be a Jew that's mleim mitzvahs kirimayim, that keeps all 613 mitzvahs. I mean, we don't have this mitzvahs, but it's possible to be a Jew that keeps all 613 mitzvahs and you still feel empty. Shem Shabbos, Shem Yontiv, you even take off Chol HaMoed. Right? You get up in the morning, you go to Minyan. You even starting a new daf yomi. Alles. You try to do it. Even maybe you go to mikveh occasionally, and you do. But there's no hergish. There's nothing. And you have Avodas Hashem. There's no feeling of a miksha achas that everything has ashpa. It doesn't have ashpa. It was my morning davening. There's no ashpa on me the rest of the day. And that's how it's possible. That David Pavarsky says that's how it's possible that a person can be molei mitzvahs kirimayim. You can be filled with mitzvahs. You're part of every chesed committee in the city. You're the bikkur chaylim and chevra kedisha, and you build shuls and you arrange all kinds of speakers. And you do all kinds of things. You're involved with time cheshabbos and yad eliezer and everything good. Your whole life is molei mitzvahs, but you could still be a rake, empty. Klapishmain Hashem's eyes, of course you get points. For everything a Jew does, you get points. Everything that a Yid does, he gets points. That's not an issue of getting points. But your avoida is with a reikonius. It's an empty avoida. Mileya mitzvahs, I feel a reikonim shebehem, mileya mitzvahs kirimai. You merely understand that you could have Jews that are gewaldige people that are doing all kinds of chassadim, giving a fortune of money to stock and send the kids to yeshiva, and they could be part of a group, or they could go in shul, and the rabbi could be the same way, Hashem Yishmerenu, but they could be the same thing. That also they're just talking about how this pasuk works out with that pasuk, and this is a nice idea, and everybody could be in shul, but people don't really daven, they talk, or they try not to talk when during Bechus Krishma or something, and then the rabbi talks about what's the difference between Arafat and Abbas, and the whole life goes like that, and they're Malay mitzvahs, they're giving tzedakah, and I've had this conversation. I'll talk to somebody, I'll say what's with the davening and the avay, you were talking about things. So he says listen, don't go into that. Don't go down that thing, because we give a lot of stock, a lot of stock, we do a lot of good things. So say, and echanami, and kishbrochim, okay, yitzadikim, milayim mitzvahs, much more than me. But you're rake, you're empty. What's your avoida? What's your avoida? Somebody starts a nigin, and people start to look uncomfortable with each other, especially the rabbi, that's the most uncomfortable thing. So I'm exaggerating, and it's only, I'm not talking about anything more than like 92-93%. But it's Malayim Mitzvahs, is Rekonim Shem, is Malayim Mitzvahs Kirim, Malayim Mitzvahs Kirim, I feel Rekonim Shem. It's a definition of our generation, it's a pachad. And it's not only in our circles that we see this. You can go nowadays to a Chassidish Beis Medrash. And you could have guys that are officially there Friday night swaying to a tish, and they're like light years away. They just, this is what they do, you know. They're part of it, so they go there, and they're guys that are just, you know. I had talmidim of mine that were looking to join into, you know, to become part of different, you know, chassidus medrash, and they said there's no avodah there. It's just that they do different things, but they're only yechidim, just like in every place you have there are yechidim who are on fire. And the rest of them are just, you know, they come and they do the stuff, and they keep them and hug them, and when the Rebbe is there, they shackle. But then 2 seconds later, they're talking, you know, you can go to Bnei Brak, and half the Eilu Mincha time is standing outside, you know, eating Gary Nim and talking about politics. Except they have long beards and pays and shiny coats and different things, but they're eating Gary Nim and talking about politics. And you have to go inside, Akedah Kach, that's a chiddush that you have Nachas Yaakov, Reb Tzvi Meir, Zogazon Zayin, the Tzimeya is a fire dike yid, and you have by certain places, and it's a shame dover, and chassidim and yeshiva bochim, and other people are going from different rabbis to go to Reb Tzimeya to have his lavas. When the whole definition of avoidus hachassidus is his lavas. But the guys themselves are feeling the unrest. They go to Williamsburg. The guys are looking for something. The ones that are looking for Avoda, they're going. There's a certain young Rebbe there that's a Ben Kedoshim, but he's not, you know, he's not a famous person, but he's a big Ovid Hashem. And they're going there to look to see him because they find it in their places. It's just not, you know, it's not happening. Even though there's more shakling and there's more nigunim, because that's the mahalach of nigunim. The fact that you sing nigunim and you're not ashamed to sing nigunim, that has to help, that's better. But Afal Pichin, you could be even, that's what the Rebbe is saying, you know, that this Metzias, that I don't know if you imagine this, but this Metzias of being a chassid, even someone that could say over a vart from the Nine Million Malach Friday night and is half asleep, that's also, that's not the tachlis of Vaidus Achsidus, which is his slavas, which the Rebbe is saying, that's the Derech HaNevi. Avabloy his Sragshus, without any feeling, I'm not talking about his slavas, but without any hisragshus, without any feeling, which is racious, his iris hanefesh al kol panim, which we learned in the earlier prakim, is the beginning of the hisiris, the awakening of the soul, the beginning of the hisiris, without some sort of hisragshus, which is racious, his iris hanefesh al kol panim. Shani writes in Larabach, Krak kol echad yodei maven, she'ef shali kari chasid. Everybody could agree, everybody understands, that without his hisragshus, which is the beginning of some feeling of some emotional connection to Yiddishkeit, you can't. It's impossible to be called a chassid. There's no sense to it. It's a contradiction in terms to say that you're chassid. And then he says, "V'le'oid, I'll tell you something else. Forget about being a chassid. Ela gam oyved Hashem poshut iyef shalias bedas bilvad. Even a simple oyved Hashem." You can't be just with the intellect, just with what you know, or thinking about Hashem. He says you're not even gam oyved Hashem poshut iyef shalias bedas bilvad. Even a simple oyved Hashem, just everything is theoretical. Everything is. Conceptual. This is a din in being close to Hashem, right? In other words, davening, Reb Chaim says the yisoid of tefillah is being lifnei Hashem. There are two dinim in tefillah, two levels of kavana. The famous Reb Chaim. So a person goes his whole life, say, "Oh, now I'm in this din, and now I'm in that din." But without hergish, without his srakshus, the Rebbe says that even a poshut to oivet Hashem, you're not. You might be yotze the mitzvahs, like I spoke about a moment ago. I feel a rekonim shavam alei mitzvahs kareem. So you're yotze. But there should be. He says elagam oyved Hashem pashut iyef shalias bedas bovad. The fact that you understand this is good and this is bad. This is a mitzvah. This is a veir. This is what God wants. This is what God doesn't want. Zayis lasis v'zayis lachdal. This you should do and this you should avoid doing. You understand? Kimisha oived rak bedaita levad, a Jew who serves Hashem only with his knowing, only with his intellect. Shrak bedaita yedeu shetzvichim liras Hashem. He knows intellectually that at the beginning of Sefer HaMitzvahs, there's a mitzvah of yiras Hashem, that you're supposed to be God-fearing. and he could talk and learning. It's machloikis Rambam and Ravid, and the Misil Sharm says this, and the Maral says that, and it's all that he understands that a person is supposed to fear God. V'le'av Isi Yisbarach, and he knows that what? That it's a mitzvah to love Hashem Yisbarach. Esther also to love his Torah, mitzvaysav. V'zbonav Ami Yibnei Yisrael. And he knows he's supposed to love Hashem, he's supposed to love his Torah, he's supposed to love mitzvahs, love his children, he's supposed to love the Jewish people, the Baruch Shalom's children. V'loy misragish gam l'chol zeh. But he has no emotional connection to any of that. He knows that there's a din to love, and he knows that it's a mitzvah, but he doesn't feel inside of him any love, not for Hashem, not for Torah, and could be not even for other Jews or for his own children in that respect. He says, Ein chiluk rav beinu levein misha miyai, it's rak ezuloso. He says the truth is that there's not much of a difference between this person who talks about Yiras Hashem, who understands what it means Ahavas, you know, he understands the definition of Ahavas Hashem, but feels nothing of that. There's not much of a chiluk between this person and Mishamiyah. It's Rakizulasa. Somebody who has nothing of his own, he just advises other people. Zulosa Sha'in Bay Das. In other words, he's trying to convince somebody who doesn't understand. Visayiv Lachal Kir Vara. A person who desires, and you could be that yourself. You could understand Ahavas Hashem. You could understand the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem. You could talk over all the Rambams in the world and all the Ramchals in the world. But in your heart, your desire is for all that's ugly and all that's evil. Even though you know what's wrong, but your cheshik is for things that are wrong. And you could be involved in a constant struggle, a milchama, and you could fight a milchama, not to do things that are wrong, but lamaisa, you feel like doing them all the time. And you're not far removed from ugliness. And your hisrakshus, your excitement, is for things that are not good. And therefore, every time, in order for you to be able to not slip into the Aveira, you have to have a milchama with the Yetzirah, and sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. Sometimes you could strengthen yourself and you could be a menatzeh for that moment. But there's no guarantee at all what's going to happen next moment. Because Be'etzem, your Aveira is with reikonius, it's with emptiness. You don't feel anything. When it comes to the other side, you feel something. There's a hisrakshus. There's something that's emotional as far as your taivas are concerned, as far as your desires are concerned. But regarding your avodas Hashem, it's purely intellectual. And that's very, very hard to fight emotions with intellect. We already learned that the Rebbe says this in many places, even though, of course, anybody who learns Tanya knows that the Balat Tanya was convinced that every single Jew has the ability that the mayach should be shalot al halev, that the mind should rule over the heart. And in that, the Tanya saw one's ability, and we're going to see some of that here in the Sefer also. There's no question, he quotes the Balat Tanya very often, that a person can bring himself, and we're going to work on that in the Sefer, to bring oneself to a point of eslavus through one's thoughts. But when it comes to a regular day, and you have an emotional connection to something that's ugly, that's not right, and you only understand that you're supposed to be God-fearing, but you don't feel in you, it's rakshas of Yiras Hashem, it's very hard to win. It's very hard. You could do it a couple of times. You win, you lose, you win, you lose, you lose, 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 win, lose, 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 win. I mean, you can go like that. And you go like that. You can go like that your whole life. Because you don't want to do it. Yid doesn't want to do something that's bad. And sof kol sof, a Jew is malei mitzvahs, and he's filled with mitzvahs, and he's chosavis, and he tries, and he doesn't want to do something that's wrong. But if you don't have his structures, and you're avodas Hashem, as the Rebbe is going to go on to explain, then you are very, very vulnerable. And it's very likely that when there's a strong hergish for something that's bad, when you have a strong taiva for something that's wrong, the intellect, which is very cold, which is amalek dik, the intellect is not going to rescue you on that day. When your heart is burning for something, and your mind says, it's not a good thing. It's very hard when you have your heart is screaming and yelling that you want this, and your mind says, think about this, it's not good for you. It's very hard. Therefore, you'll find people that are talking about all kinds of fancy things in Yiddishkeit, all kinds of fancy ideas, and when it comes to the most basic inyanim in Avodas Hashem and staying away in the world of Sur Meira, that they don't have hatzlacha, that inyan of Sur Meira. So you'll have people that are standing in line to the latest movie and are discussing the Rambam's view of Yiras Hashem, and there's no contradiction in their minds. If the Yiras Shemayim would be with a hergish of Dalif Naimiata Oimed and Shavis Hashem Lenegdi Samid Mamish, then you wouldn't be you'd get off the line, you wouldn't be on line to the movie anymore, you would walk away. You would run away. So you're thinking about Yiras Shamayim, and you might even be giving shiurim in Yiras Shamayim, but there's no hergish of Yiras Shamayim. The simple hergish of an Erlich Yid, of a simple Jew, of what it means to be Yiras Shamayim, is missing. I feel Reikonim Shabam Lei Mitzvahs Karimayim. There was a girl, I don't know her, she called me last night, she left a message, she talked about something about a shidduch, and she asked me a question about a certain young man that I know from Brooklyn, a wonderful, wonderful boy. And we were talking about it, and she was asking me what kind of a lamdan he is. So I asked, I don't know, what kind of lamdan are you? What kind of lamdan are you? What kind of lamdanit are you? She says, what do you mean? I said, I just spent 15 minutes telling you that he's a gewaldige fellow. He's sweet, he's good, he's a big balmidus, and he loves learning Torah. And I said to her, actually, I did say that, he's not a Talmud Chacham, he's not a lamdan, but he's always learning, and he knows the halacha, and he learns. And he learns halacha. So she says, well, I'm very upset because a lot of the dates, and we said with that niggin, a lot of the dates that I go on, I find guys are misquoting Mamari Chazal. That's what she said to me. So it's a good thing nobody was in the basement. I was on the phone because I had like that light. I said, I got to tell you something. She's very sweet. I didn't say it in a bad way. I said it in a nice way. But here, I'm just saying, but kids are stronger, right? But I said, look, I said, I feel very, your mom has insulted my father. She says, your father? Why? What do you mean? I said, what do you think, my father, quotes every Chazal, right? But if my daughters could marry somebody like my father, I'd be the happiest Jew in the world. He doesn't get all the Chazals right, He misses a word. He says a little bit funny sometimes, but... And he doesn't remember all the Chazals, but he's a murder of Yerei Shemayim and Eilech Yid. Those Pashat Yidden, I said, like your grandfather and grandmother, that they didn't necessarily go to the SOI farm sale and stand online. The girls holding the Me'ashi Lach and the Kesais, You understand what I'm talking about, right? So I said, you're upset because there are boys that you've met that are misquoting Chazals. So I said, this guy's a terrific guy, and he knows how to make Shabbos. And there are a lot of guys that quote Chazal properly, but they're not sure how to hold a blach, He's all right. He's a great guy, and he learns. So she says, but I want to look up to him. I want to respect him. I said, why shouldn't you? You should respect anybody that knows one Chazal. You should respect him. You can look up to and respect. So there's a lot of things that the girls are being taught and they're being told and they're saying over. So somebody told you, and they said, how old are you? She told me how old she is. So I said, you see, what's happening is that you heard 1,000 times about how it has to be this kind of a level, the boy has to be on this level. Tremendous. It's not like there's so many of the boys that are like that. It has to be on this level. And you go around saying that all the time. Not that you have any hasag of what it means, bichlal, what does it mean to be a lamdan and to have any hasag? I said, what difference does it make in your life whether he knows that Taisus and Yavamis or not? I mean, what bearing does it have on your life? You want that he should be a God-fearing person that's deeply connected to Torah, unless you tell me that you want, that you're looking for a track of a guy that's going to be, a shir and be a melech sakai, there should be a maggid shir to be a shiva. That 100%, I'm asking. If you want a Rosh Hashiva, but you didn't start the conversation telling me that you wanted to do a Rosh Hashiva. I asked you what you're looking for. You didn't say you want a Rosh Hashiva. You said you want someone to learn for a year or two and they'll be professional. So then you're talking to me that he's misquoting Marmar Chazal. I said, professionals do that, you know. So if he's a dentist, you know, if you're standing over somebody's mouth and you're pulling out, you're pulling out something, a tooth, so you might batch up a Chazal when you have your head in the guy's mouth. It happens like that, you know. If you tell me he's a Rosh Hashiva and he's misquoting Chazal, that's a problem. If you tell me he's a Rosh Hashiva, he's a Maggid Shi, and he's saying over the Rambam wrong, that's a problem. But if the guy, if you're talking about an accountant, as long as he gets the numbers right, and so if he says a little bit wrong, you know, Chazal, he's still an Eilech Yid, like, and he still makes Shabbos, so what are you worried about? When you have a Sogya of, you know, Lamdan, you didn't say you wanted a Rosh Hashiva, you said you wanted a Yid. So our grand, how many, by our grandfathers and great-grandfathers, what, they were Lamdanim? Who was a Lamdan? They were lechidim that they tried to learn and to go to hear some Torah and to say over some Torah. But this is the hasag. It's all Yerushalayim to talk about Yerushalayim, to talk about Torah, to talk about everything. But to have the pashat the hasagas of an erlich yid of our grandparents that would know to stay away from an aveira. And that sweet little girl that's online at the Sfarim sale with the Meir Shiloach and with the latest, you know, edition of the Rambam, that she's online. You know, there's no guarantee that she's not going to be online, on a different online that night, you know, on the internet, online with something that's not right. The same one that's online holding the Rambam and the Meir Shiloach, she could be online. It's not, our grandmothers would have said, that's not for us. But they didn't even know that. They never even heard of the Meir Shiloach. The Rambam they heard of. But they never learned the Rambam, our grandmothers. And they wouldn't go looking after a lot of these things, and they'd see something and go, oh, great, that's not for a religious person. Plus for the Yerushalayim. Why? Because the Yiddishkeit was with a hisragshus, with a hergish. And you know, one of the biggest minds of our lifetime was Rabbi Yosher ben Soloveitchik. Everybody's maskim, even his detractors, even those who were unhappy about his presence in the world, couldn't argue with him in learning, yeah? And he constantly, if you look in his ksavim, and certainly those who heard it from him, Baal Peh, he was constantly bemoaning this emptiness of American Yiddishkeit. The emptiness of American Yiddishkeit. He spoke about it all the time. About the ceremonial rabbi, the rabbi who performs weddings and funerals, right? He constantly ridiculed it and mocked it and said, he said, we talk about Kalta Litvaks, that I'm, you know, from Beis Arav, Brisk. And in Beis Arav, he says, my father, they didn't talk about their emotions. That's true. The Brisk Arav, his uncle, they didn't talk about how they felt. And that was unusual about Rabbi Yosher Ber, because he did talk about it. And he explained, as we once read together in Shul, he explained, because now we must. Now the teachers have to talk about their emotional connection to God, because we can't afford to be the way that we once were. The way that my father and grandfather were. We can't afford that anymore. And I was reading just the other night about how one of his Talmidim described that it was Tanis Esther, and Rabbi Yosher Ber was sitting with a talus over his head and he was crying like a baby. And he said he never davened with Rabbi Yosher Ber. He only heard shiur from him. He didn't know that side of him. That he was shaking and crying and he was a mislahev, and he said that American Judaism is empty, and Orthodoxy, he says, empty. Rabbis are performing ceremonies. And I was reading, they published now some of his letters. Of course, it's called the selected letters, and the people who selected them very carefully. I would love to see some of the other letters, but the ones who did the selecting are wonderful people that were very careful to select only letters that would not be too dangerous for their chevra. But even in those selected letters, the whole shakel of the tariya about with Rabbi Yosher Ber to become the chief rabbi in Eretz Yisrael. So I'm sure you're familiar with this, that there was a huge movement in Eretz Yisrael among some of the Gedolei HaTorah and politicians, that after the death of Rav Herzog Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that Rabbi Yosher Ber should be the chief rabbi. The one who was leading that movement to get Rabbi Yosher Ber to be the Rav was the Rav of Petach Tikva, Rav Reuven Katz. So, not them God, the Dudoy Reuven, another God of Ma'oid, Degel Reuven. And it's so interesting to read the letters Rabbi Yosher Ber wrote back why he couldn't do it. And he says that he says my union in this world is to teach Torah and to be with other Jews and to learn Torah with them. My union is not to be part of ceremonies and politics and to meet world leaders it's so far from my whole way of living. I can't. He says, first he said, I thought about it because he got all, everybody was pushing him. He thought that maybe I could help Klai Yisrael, you know, and he's a tzaddik, so he wanted to do for Yidden, he wanted to help. But then he said, but what am I talking about? He says, I come from the house of my father and my grandfather. And he says, I just want to be a Malamed. I want to learn Torah and stay in the Dalet Amos of Torah. And I abhor politics. I can't stand ceremonial things. And I run away from the press and from newspapers. I hate that. I can't. So what am I going to, you know, the chief rabbi is a very big political figurehead in Eretz Yisrael. He says, I can't. It's not my whole life is not like that. And so there are those people who consider themselves Talmidim of the Rav, of Rabbi Yosher Ber, where they talk about Yiras Shamayim, talk about Ahavas Hashem, as if Rabbi Yosher Ber wasn't himself a Mislai, wasn't on fire. And the way he describes when he was a child, how he describes, there's a famous letter that he wrote to Rav Rivkin, Oliver Shalom. Rav Rivkin was one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Tarav Adas. He was a big Lubavitcher Chassid from the Rashab. And the way Rabbi Yosher Ber wrote about his memory of being, he used to daven in the Chabad Shul, and he remembers, he says, Simchas Torah in Chaslavich, where his father was Rav, where Chaslavich was a Lubavitcher town. And he says how they made his father. He said they made my father into a rebbe. And Simchas Torah, they're dancing in the Chabad Chassidim, are dancing around my father. He says and the davening in the shul, in the Chabad shul Friday night and Rosh Hashanah. He says what does America know about any of this stuff? He said America doesn't. America is cold. This is the one who everybody thought was a cult of Litvak. And his father and grandfather, no, the Chaim, but the father, the uncle, they were no different. Even though on their faces you didn't see. He says, my father, these are people. There was a letter that I was reading that he wrote to a woman, to a teacher in Givat Washington. Givat Washington, which is near Kermiavna. There was a woman that it was 1967, which was a horrible year in Rabbi Yosher Ber's life. Because in three, I think it was 3 months in a row, he lost his brother. He lost his mother, Rebbetzin Pesha, and he lost his wife. I think in just 3 or 4 months, he lost three of them. The brother was 58, his wife was 62, and his mother, the Rebbetzin, was 86. But he lost Mamish in one tekufa. And he wrote, so this woman, listen, it was 1967, right after the war, and this teacher said that this woman was teaching in school, Rabbi Yosher Ber's Maimer, Koldo Didoy Fake, which is the yesod of all religious Zionism in our times. That Torah of Koldo Didoy Fake, right? That's where Rabbi Yosher Ber proclaims his allegiance to that world. He didn't grow up in that world, right? And so she said that she taught this to the class, this woman, her name is Mrs. Shiloh. She taught this to her class, this is the Israeli, she taught, they learned Kol Didoy Fake, and the girls were troubled that how could it be that the author of this mimer lives in New York, in Boston, in America? It's a good question, huh? So she said she couldn't really answer that, so she wrote to Rabbi Yosher Ber. And Rabbi Yosher Ber answered. It's translated into English, this letter. I was crying last night. I was reading this last night, I was mamish crying. I don't even know how to. I'll read it to you. I'll bring it in. I'll read it to you. I don't know how to say it over. Rabbi Yosher Ber says, "I have sinned. I have sinned against the Holy Land. I'm a sinner. I have sinned against Eretz Yisrael. I have sinned against it." He says, "My heart is tormented." You have to see how he writes. He says, "The light of my life, the desire of my soul, my wife has left me. I can't think straight. We were going to come and move there for 6 months to see what it's like. And in the end, I'm here because in Yerushalayim is the place of joy and I'm depressed and I'm broken and Yerushalayim won't accept a Jew like me." It was the most unbelievable thing in the world. A cult of Litvak. A cold Litvak. It was unbelievable. There's that we didn't see on these people. Do you think they were like that? Of course they weren't. You think that they didn't have, that they weren't on fire? To say that there's a certain mahalach that they have not to show emotion, and to hold back emotion. But they were filled with the Ahavas Hashem, with the Yiras Shamayim, with the Brisker Rav. So you're right, you never caught the Brisker Rav at a Kumsis, that's true. There are no Brisker Nagunim. It's true. There are no Brisker Nagunim. But if you ask people, the Brisker Rav had a tremendous appreciation for Nagina. All the Soloveitchiks have a tremendous appreciation for Nagina. And I heard from my Rebbe, Rav David Lifshitz Zecher Tzadik Livracha, I once mentioned this to you, he remembers when Rav Meir Shapir, now we're coming to the Siyum HaShas, right? Rav Meir Shapir, the Lublina Rav. When Lublina Rav came to Grodno, he was visiting Lithuania, Litta. And Rav Meir Shapir came and he says that we sat there, Rav David said that we sat together with the Rosh Hashiva, the Rav Shimon Shkop. Rav Shimon was from the biggest Talmid of Rav Chaim Brisker, right? Rav Shimon, the Litvak par excellence. And he said we were up the whole night because Rav Meir Shapir was a big Balmanagin, Rav Meir Shapir. He has Nagunim, but he was a big Balmanagin. And Rav David started to sing one of the Nagunim from that night in Shia. And Rav David started to sing. He said that we sat the whole night. He said that Rav Shimon, he said, was the whole night was crying like a baby with his eyes closed and they were sitting there and swaying in the dark. Rav Shimon, we have a whole different hasaga of what it is because America is a cold place. America, it's not a din in Lithuania. America, be'etzem, is a cold place. And Yiddishkeit has become ceremonial. Not because, God forbid, that the tzaddikim were in Bali Regish. My Rabbi Reb Dov is a Maladab, anybody that knew him, he was an Eish Lahav, he was a fire. But Reb Baruch Ber, these are people that are mamish on fire. It's true that there was more of an inyan to try to control that show of emotion. That's true. For whatever reason, that's not for now. Which Rabbi Yosheber spoke about a great deal. Why is it that there was that control? That's the Isha Halacha. But say, that's not for now. But not that they weren't Bali Hergish. Not that they were serving Hashem just with their ideas. Because ideas alone don't make you into the Brisker Rav, you understand? Ideas alone don't make you into Rav Chaim Brisker or into Rav Yosheber. That's not an idea that makes you into a person like that. It's not understanding the Rambam. It's being a chetz of the Rambam. Being a Rambam, a shtickler Rambam, just like the Rambam himself, people would like to think that he was like this, you know, that he was this cold intellectual, God forbid. But the Rambam, we see that the Rambam also is that side of the Rambam, that he was Tzadik Yisayid Olam. So he says that a person like this, that knows about Yerushalayim and Ahavas Hashem, he could be connected emotionally to the most disgusting and ugliest things. Kevin Shagam Hubatz Musay Kulay, Loi Levad She'enim Esrageish LaHatoy VaKedusha. It's around 7 lines down on page Chav Gimel. This person who knows intellectually about holiness, but he's not Misragesh, he's not excited about holiness, he says, he knows all about Ahavas Hashem Yos Hashem. He's not misragish, he's not excited about Ahavas Hashem Yos Hashem. Actually, the Rebbe says he's excited about things that are ugly and things that are physical. That's what excites him. The Rebbe says, what are you going to do? If a father has a son, and the son is a Meshuggah. So the father tries to watch him all the time. But the father knows that if you take your eye off him for a second, he could destroy the whole house. He's a Meshuggah. The father has to keep a constant eye on the kid. And if the father stops looking, the kid could destroy the house. So he says, what's the Baruch Hashem going to do with his children? So he has, so this person, this Jew, he knows all about, you know, what it means on a mitzvah and what's an aveir. But if for one second he's left alone, he could destroy, he could do any aveir in the world. Because he has no hergish. He himself doesn't feel the ugliness of the aveir. He doesn't feel the joy of doing a mitzvah. He understands that there's a mitzvah, there's an aveir. But his hergish is the street. His hergish is the movie. His hergish is the same hergish when he was a 16-year-old kid, you know, cruising up and down Main Street, USA. It's the same hergish. So how do you leave a kid like that? How do you leave an adult like that alone? He can make the biggest churban in the world. He can destroy everything. There's no way, the Rebbe says, that with intellect alone, you can guard yourself against evil. There's no way. By knowing what's right and knowing what's wrong, that in no way can ultimately save you from ra, from evil. It could, again, you could have some, you could have occasional victories in a milchama. And certainly if you're afraid of being seen or getting caught, of your name, you know, being found on the computer somehow, that, then you understand you're not an idiot. This person is an intelligent person. He's a lamdan, right? But that, but if you're alone, you know, in Tallahassee, that without it, without just with intellect alone, that there should be a shmirah from Ra, that's not going to do it. It'll go just so far, your thinking, your intellect, your convictions, your thoughts, but without the hergish. Imhu v'srak shi'aysav b'kedusha le'ikonsurak b'gashmiusim ke'kelevu ke'ach b'yish'aru. If all of your feelings in holiness, if any feeling of holiness hasn't penetrated, and your feelings, your emotions are what? Are for physical things like a dog or like a rat. So you could know Hilchas Tefillah and the Rambam by heart. And your Baki and Masechta Brachos. That's not going to stop you from talking in shul. It's not going to stop you from talking in shul, and you can know the Rambam, you can know the Reb Chaim about how you know the Ikka Kavani is standing with Nesha. It's not going to prevent you from thinking about the movie you saw last night and talking in shul. It's not going to stop it. It's just not. Without the hergish, without the excitement for kedusha and achias and tefillah. Just knowing that davening is important and knowing, yeah, I know you're not allowed to talk. I know. Shkoyach, thank you. I don't need any usher to tell me that I can't talk. Shkoyach, thank you very much. I know that. What do you think? I'm an Amaretz. I'm a Lamdan. I'm such a Lamdan that girl would even marry me. Right? I'm a Lamdan. I know you're not allowed to talk in shul. But but you have a cheshek to talk in shul. The Siddur says, and it's such beautiful words, but you'd rather say words like, Where you going? Where you going for Pesach or something? The hergish, and all your hergishias, all your emotions are tied to the same silly and low things that they were when you were a kid. Even though you know a ton more than you knew when you were a kid, you know a lot more, and you know a lot more than your father or grandfather knew, because they probably didn't even have time to go to yeshiva. After the time that they were 13 or 14, they didn't go to yeshiva without our fathers. They didn't go to yeshiva. They didn't learn as much. They didn't know all these things. But they felt that there's something important about they felt in their hearts a hergish for Yiddishkeit and for davening and so on. Vahim kisha yoshein v'daito bal imay chasashon enet zorach liyos Yehudi Hashem yishmeren. Do you think that when you're asleep and you're not thinking, do you think that, God forbid, at that time you don't have to be a Jew, Hashem yishmeren? When you're not thinking, when you don't understand things, you think you don't have to be a Jew? You have to be a Jew every single minute of your life, even if you don't understand things, even if it doesn't make sense to you, even if your das is not with you, you still have to be a Jew. And what's going to keep you as a Jew when your das is not with you, when you don't understand, when you're not thinking? To say things like, "Well, this mitzvah doesn't make sense to me," which our grandfathers never uttered such words. It doesn't make sense to you. I'm not into davening right now. Our grandfathers, our fathers said such things. How come you don't come to shul? I'm not into davening. Was there such a sprach, a lashon by our ancestors? I'm not into things. They also didn't feel always it, but there was such a hergish of a rotzen to be a yid. That even when a person doesn't understand, how is this important for me right now? Why is this, I don't understand, why is it important for me to go to shul? Why is it important for me to daven? But the hergish was so strong that to be a Jew, you have to go to shul, you have to get up in the morning, you go to shul, you daven. ואם כשיושן ודאיתו בעלים אחר ששולם אין הצורך להיות יהודי השם ישמנו, גם כשהוא ער, אי אפשר להשגיח על בן המשוגע בלי הרף. And even when he's awake, you can't keep your eye on a Meshuggah day and night. You can't keep your eye on a Meshuggah. I mean, if you don't, you know, there are times your das is not intact. But you're not thinking straight. But you're not thinking straight. A person can have a taiva, and with a taiva, the taiva is a ruach shtus, and he could start saying the craziest things in the world. You could have a person that he's married for 20 years, he has a beautiful family, he has beautiful children, and he's got his head on some secretary, God forbid. And he starts to think, you know, I don't know, maybe my wife is not for me, and maybe this could bring me happiness, and you know, and you say, oh, Mr. Sugar, you're crazy. Your children are never gonna talk to you again. You know, forget about grandchildren, your children. It's all for fun. It's Meshuggah Mamish. Like a lunatic. And he'll have all kinds of svaris inside of his head. It's Meshuggah. All kinds of svaris. You know, that was the first chelik of my life. My wife and children, and now there's a second chelik. And you know what? There are a lot of divorces, and I see that they get along with their kids, and they could even have a nice relationship with their ex-wife, too. I could talk and be so. Oh, for what? It's a chapta taiva. Because some lady that looks nice in a skirt at work. Gandhi. And because his wife, he's tired and he's bored, and the wife doesn't say to him all the lashonis they would like to hear, and all of a sudden some pretty young lady says, oh, I think you're so special, you're so cute, and Gandhi. And he starts to think about losing his children and his grandchildren. He's not Meshuggah. He's a lunatic. He's crazy. So who's going to keep an eye on Meshuggah? So even if you're a person that you pride yourself that everything is das, everything is seichel. Seichel? What's seichel? Das. It goes in a minute. Because a person's hisrakshus is still, he's still a baltaiva. And you could say this seichel and that seichel. But if you're a baltaiva, you'll find all kinds of crazy, insane svaris to justify a taiva, to try to make sense out of a taiva. And then the person in this has lots to compare his wife, right? His wife, who for all these years is mamish faithful and good and kind and taking care of him and raising the children and preparing his breakfast, his lunch and supper, v'chulu v'chulu. He starts to compare that person with some lady at work that said, oh my, aren't you cute? He starts to say, well, let's see. let's think about the milas and the chesroinus of each person. It's an insanity, no? But this is happening all the time. This happens all the time. And the person starts to go into these dimyanis about where and what, and you know, maybe this is not my tachlis, maybe this is my true basher. My true basher. And you tell me, are you crazy? What about your children? Well, the children will understand. My children will understand. They love me. They'll understand. And anybody will say, your children are never going to talk to you again. They're not going to understand. Or you could say better, they'll understand. That's why they're not going to talk to you ever again. They understand exactly. You're a baltaiva. And you're a meshuggah. You want to say that they'll have rachmanis on a meshuggah? The children don't have rachmanis on a father that's meshuggah. Or on a mother that's meshuggah. They don't have rachmanis. You're a meshuggah, nobody has rachmanis. Not in that kind of meshuggah. You have a meshuggah, a person who's never mentally handicapped, it's rachmanis. But nobody has rachmanis on this kind of meshuggah that throws the mother in the gutter because of a taiva. Nobody has a rachmanis on such a meshuggah. Except maybe the guys he drinks together with in the bar, you know, something like that. But other than that, nobody has rachmanis. That's what he says. So das alone, understanding alone, gam kishu'er, iyev shalashgiach al ben hamishugah bli harif. Even when you're awake, you can become mishugah. Void rami zahu. The Rebbe continues, and even worse. Shagam b'shor shemashgiach al atzmai. Even when you're trying to be careful and you're watching, you're being careful. Sof kol sof loy dai tel atzma va hagishoyse va mugushom im shoyle. Rak la hepach atzma va hagishoyse va dai tel shaltem, that's what I'm talking about. even though you consider yourself to be a person of das, and you're thinking, and you're even a person that might have some hergish, but the hergish of taiva is ruling over your thoughts. That's exactly what we're talking about. That you do have emotions. You're capable of feeling things. But look what's happened here. Your emotions are in control of your thoughts. And your emotions are telling you that maybe this secretary is more chashev than your wife. Hashem Yirachem. Your emotions are ruling over your... So even if you're a baldas and you're trying to be careful... And, you, and not only that, but you're a person of hergish, but the hergish itself is drawing you into crazy things. And that could make toiv into ra and ra into toiv. The Pasuk Omer, kol derech ish yosher be'enav. A person will find all kinds of crazy ways to rationalize and to justify the things that he's doing. So that what? So to be able to say, kol derech ish yosher be'enav, that my path is a straight path. Is a straight path. And a person is entering into something where toiv has become ra and ra has become toiv, and he has to explain with his das to rationalize why this is good and why everything is okay and why this is perfectly understandable and what could you do, that's how things are, and other people do the same thing and many people have done this thing and so on and so forth. Because of this hergish that's taking over this taiva, and he'll justify and rationalize why he's giving into this, and he'll never say that you're just a plain bal taiva. He'll say, no, this is because of this, this is because of that. He has all kinds of explanations. Going back to this guy, my wife isn't the same person she used to be, and whatever, and we've had a lot of disagreements. All of a sudden, he was able to live like that and to be happy to some degree until the nice secretary came along. And all of a sudden, he has all kinds of svaras about how come he really, really all of these years I've wanted to get a divorce. Ever since Shavuot Brachos, I wanted a divorce. It's an amazing thing. He never had such a thought until he met the secretary. It's a pella, no? Why did that just happen exactly at that time? Why did it happen? Just when he met the secretary, now he has all of a sudden all kinds of thoughts about, really, you know, my marriage is not really good. My marriage is not really good. And how many times I've had in Yonim where there'll be where there's somebody who'll start to tell me about whatever that my husband he's so distant from me, he's like this, he's like that, and so on. And then I get the guy in the corner and say, tell me the truth. What's going on with you? You have something going on. What's going on? He starts to tell me about, you know, marriage has really never been good and there are all kinds of problems and we never really spoke about them, never looked at him. I said, so how come you're trying to talk about it now? Something happened? What you took an Einstein pill? And now you're smart and you woke up after 20 years that maybe your wife is not the woman of your dreams? Don't waste my time. 9 out of 10 times, don't waste my time. You have somebody else on your head. You didn't become smart all of a sudden. Your wife is a wonderful person and she's been good to you for the last 20 years. Don't tell me all of a sudden you have all these stories about your wife. No, I've always thought this. Nachtigetog. Your wife knows that it's not true, and she could tell that you cared for her deeply all these years, and so on and so forth. No, there's something else going on, and you're a meshugana. That's all. You're a meshugana. You better be careful because you're going to destroy your life. You'll destroy her. You'll destroy your children and everything you've worked for all these years. And I've seen it happen. Kiseida. And there are men that I know who are living lonely lives in apartments in Flatbush and elsewhere. Because the secretary drops them also, you have to. Lonely lives. With children and grandchildren, there's no shaykhis to them. Because of what? Amishagas. With all the das, and all the intellect, professors, thinkers, and have nothing in their lives. Because those taivis, you could justify in any way you want. And you can make up all kinds of sources about why the marriage is not the way it's supposed to be. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech said, Kol derech ish yosha be'enav. You'll make up all kinds of ideas and sources to show how this is right what I'm doing. Kol derech ish yosha be'enav. And the emes is that it's all a taiva. It's all a taiva. And so the Rebbe is saying, how does one, even a baldas, even a person who's capable of hergish, how does one guard oneself against these things? So we're going to learn that the yisaid is, of course, das, 100%. Das that's holy, with learning. But a hergish in Yavar Hashem, to be on fire with your davening, with your you don't just talk about loving God. You're in love with the Baruch Shalom. You don't talk about your Shemayim. You're an embassy. You're a Shemayim that will never. That's why you'll never look at that secretary, let alone get into conversations during the lunch break or something. This means the Erlichkeit. You don't get to that point where you have conversations when now you have to try to make up all kinds of stories. Why I love the secretary more than my wife, Chalila. You never get into those conversations. But instead, you're the famous intellectual who looks down upon the Erlich Yidden who don't look at the secretary, right? Hey, what are you, some kind of a beast? We're in the 21st century. We're in the 21st century. What's the matter with you? You have to be a nice person. You go out to lunch. You have a meeting with people. You have to be friendly. You have to be civilized. Our grandfathers were uncivilized people. They were on fire with Yiras Shemayim. And in the Erlich Yidden, the Yiras Shemayim doesn't look where he's not supposed to look. Gendig, finished. That's why he doesn't get into the whole sugya. Now, what do I do with my wife vis-a-vis the secretary? Because he never spoke to the secretary except, you know, bring over the stapler, you know, something. I don't know. But not, oh, I feel so bad for you. Your husband's upset with you. You want to talk about it? You understand? So a Yiras Shemayim is molei hergish. He doesn't just talk about being God-fearing, he's God-fearing. And he feels God's presence, and he feels that the Ratzon Hashem is that I not talk to this person. Well, I just say perfunctory things like, good morning, good afternoon, but I don't become like the person's therapist, which is only a chut ha'sar away from the other stuff that we were talking about, when you become somebody's therapist who's not your wife, Hashem Yirachem. And all kinds of svaras. I have to be makar the person, she's not religious. So, Ahav is Yisrael. It's a Jewish person, I'm supposed to leave her like this? So, Ahav is, it's not nice, not to have charis. All these svaras, that our Zaydis and Babis never had these svaras, and they were smarter than us. You know why they didn't have these svaras? Because they're Erlich Yidden. And Yir Shemayim means, that's not my wife, I don't talk to her. It's not my wife. I don't stand around schmoozing after shul for 15 minutes about the problem that she has with her children. But I have a mitzvah to help Jews with their children. You have a mitzvah to help her husband with the children. You have a mitzvah to help her with the children. There's no mitzvah like that. In all the svaras of the world, you can say fancy svaras, kol derech ish yosha be'enav. All kinds of fancy svaras, 21st century. The Rambam would have done this, right? All the fanciest sorrows in the world. It's missing the hergish of a pashat to Yirei Shemayim. We're going to learn more and more about how even people like us, Mishagoyim like us, how we can become Balei Hergish in our Avodas Hashem. And that will be an emes shmir for all of us.